So we're here for the first episode back of More Civil Societies for 2020, here with Eva Cox and Julie Macken. Welcome, guys.
Nice to be in the same room.
It is. It's lovely to be in the same room with you guys. We're doing a special edition of More Civil Societies to open up the year with a bit of discussion over what happened in Australia during the summertime. And so we're going to start with the question, what were your experiences over the summer? We'll perhaps start with Julie.
Sure. Thanks, Charmaine. I guess my big take-home experience over summer was I'm in the RFS, so working with a whole kind of army of volunteers in all sorts of different ways, trying to hold containment lines, trying to build containment lines, and really rethink how we deal with fire in Australia. Mm. At one point, I remember there were a whole lot of small houses at the base of a hill, and in order to protect those small houses, we lit up that entire hill. Mm. And I just remember watching the birds trying to escape, and of course they couldn't. Mm. And I thought, we've really got to rethink how we fight fire, where we live, and kind of what's the trade-off of property protection. And I think across Australia, communities are thinking about that kind of question.
Yeah, for sure. And Eva, what were your experiences over the summer?
Not nearly as personal and not nearly as active as that, partly age and partly because I suppose I'm sort of trying to sit back and look at what's happening in the world, because I'm very interested in how we can sort of deal with these things, these extreme things, because we're obviously not dealing with them very well. I mean, the politicians were caught short and behaving extremely badly in most cases. You know, communities came together, they did things and things happened, but they almost happened in spite of what the politicians were doing rather than because of.
Yeah.
And if we're going to cope with the changes that we're getting now or try and mitigate the changes, we actually need to create ways of community and the political system being able to work in tandem rather than with the deep distrust and problems that we're getting. Because between the fires and then now in the last few weeks the floods, it's perfectly obvious that there's an awful lot of people like Julie who put in time, skills and energy into situations which should never get as bad as they have done. If only we'd have planned more, if only we'd have participated more, if only we'd have trusted each other and reacted to the fact that we have to stop these things happening rather than just have them keep happening to us.
No, that's a really good point. And you do mention trying to find a solution here. So what do you think the take-home lessons of the summer are?
Well, I think particularly that one is we had all of this huge energy of the community and everybody said, isn't it fantastic? You know, this is Australia. We really are good. We stick with our communities and everybody got fed and all of that stuff. But what we need to do is actually get our communities involved in the planning. We obviously can't trust the politicians to make the sorts of decisions that are going to do that. We've got to work out what we can and can't do with, how we can actually reduce the stress on the communities, reduce the stress on the environment in ways that reduce the likelihood of the damage that's happening. And that means we've got to start talking to each other. And that really does mean that we've got to develop a decent level of trust and engage people from the bottom up, not the top down.
Very true. And Julie, for having such a different experience, being so actively involved on the front line, what would be your take-home lessons?
Well, I think we did see the community self-organise incredibly effectively. We saw the RFS and, you know, their different state counterparts run, you know, the most extraordinary protection and care for both communities, for life, and as far as we could for country. I've never seen anything like that. We saw the community self-organise to get out there and feed the wildlife, to feed the firefighters, to be there in the community. And I guess for me the really important thing is there was trust. There was self-organising. The way we came together as our people was really fantastic, and it completely marginalised politicians and illuminated for all of us the entire irrelevance of the political class to our lives and to care for each other and care for country. And I really want us to hang on to that. I really want us to remember that when push came to shove, we were there for each other and politicians were utterly irrelevant. Now, I don't think for a second any politician is going to let that situation stand.
Yeah.
They can't by nature allow the community to take a bow.
Mm.
Otherwise, we'd begin to ask them why we're paying them $500,000 a year to do a gig that they failed to do. Mm. But I want us as a community to remember what we did, to remember what we were for each other, and to hang on to that and take it forward into other areas, but to not surrender it to the kind of mercenary, narcissistic self-interest of politicians.
Mm. No, I think that's a really good sentiment to remember and to move forward with. So with that, where do you think we should go from here? What are the next steps? You know, whether that's individually or as a community, what should we do?
Look, I keep hearing this thing about, you know, we need a Council of Australia, we need a Council of Elders, we need a kind of a parallel kind of community voice for the community in Australia. Like, you know, trust in politicians has rightly collapsed because they can't be trusted. That's why it's collapsed.
Mm.
The sports rorts, the kind of revelation of corruption after corruption. I wouldn't trust them with half a sandwich, and apparently nor would the rest of Australia. So I really am going to be thinking a lot more about what would it look like if we brought together a council of 100 Australians that we could hold kind of town hall meetings with, that we could bring together and give them a mandate to advocate on our behalf for what we need, because I have completely lost trust in partisan politics.
Yeah, no, that's a very fair point. And Eva, where do you think we should go from here? What's next?
I mean, I agree with a lot of the analysis that Julie's brought out, because I don't think either the major parties and not most of the minor parties have shown any particular capacity to deal with these things. There's been a huge amount of denial. And we shouldn't have had to have dealt with things that were as badly predicted and handled. I mean, people did a fantastic job in a very bad situation, but we should have been well ahead of them in what we needed to do to the environment and to make the damage less obvious and the various other things.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we need to get the community organised, but we also need to get involved somehow or other within the political system to try and get them to put the legislation and the money where it's needed to fix things, rather than to pretend it's not happening and deny it's happening and avoid it's happening. We need to make sure that they don't do more damage rather than less damage. And we need to do that because we've got the community working with the politicians, and they're just going to have to work out how they do that. Or else we're going to get a very nasty, fragmented society as people just continue to distrust each other, then start distrusting people that don't look like them. And we fragment. And I think that that's a real possibility if we don't have a government that can try and listen to what the voters are really saying rather than what's happening in the fantasy in their head or the latest briefing they've got from somebody who's got very different viewpoints.
Yeah, no, that's very true. Excellent. Well, they conclude my questions for today. Obviously, two very different perspectives that you get to hear week to week on More Civil Society. So thank you for joining me.
Thanks, thank you.